12 wide receiver rankings. Let's do this. We got to start at the top. Jaxon Smith-Njigba at the Tennessee Titans. And it's a bit of a difference going from the Rams defense to the Titans defense for this Seattle Seahawks and Sam Darnold passing game.
Yeah, the Titans' best corners are on the Rams, the Jets, and then in the court system. And then their safety, Xavier Woods, hasn't practiced either. So Seahawks projected for 27 points. It's at home. It's an eruption spot. Even in the bad matchups, JSN's gone absolutely crazy.
Yeah, he is the first player ever to have more than 75 yards receiving in the opening 10 games of a season.
That's wild. That is wild.
Pretty good. Amon-Ra St. Brown, also in a bounce-back spot, hopefully, against the New York Giants. I mean, his worst home game this season performance is 6-86. And as we always talk about, the Lions are playing in a dome the rest of the way, and this is at home on top of it.
Yeah, expected for 30 points as a team, most in the NFL this week. The Giants, they still don't have their top outside corner and their defensive line. Like, they don't have Thibodeau. One of their defensive tackles is out. The defensive coordinator knows he's going to get fired. He's just kind of out there vibing. So it's a great spot for the fellow Trojan.
Interesting things going on with Abdul Carter on top of it, too.
Yes.
All right. We'll move on and quickly go through these big names. We got two teammates in a row here. Puka Nacua at number 3, Davante Adams at number 4. Both of these players facing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. What I'm most interested in here for Puka Nacua is Tyler Higbee this week was one of three players, including Rob Havenstein at right tackle and one of their safeties, to go on injured reserve. We've seen a bunch of 13 personnel looks, sometimes like a third to a quarter of the plays in certain games here for the Rams as of late. In those 13 personnel looks, Puka Nacua has run one route, I believe. So they still have three tight ends. You know, they still have Colby Parkinson. They still have Terrence Ferguson. They still have Davis Allen. So we'll see if even without Higbee, they continue to do that. And if so, we'll see, you know, a jump from 75% of dropbacks for Puka up to his reasonable 90% of dropbacks.
I'm expecting like a bounce back game for even calling the last couple weeks for Nacua down weeks, projected for 28 points at home. That's 6 wide receivers against Tampa Bay to score at least 10 half PPR points in the last 3 games. So on average, 2 wide receivers are doing that. Right now, Jameel Dean, hip injury, left last week, has not practiced. Hassan Reddick up front, the top edge rusher. He hasn't practiced yet either. He's been missing some time. Their defensive tackle has been on IR for most of the season. So it's just not the same level defense as we're used to with Tampa Bay. They can still stop the run, but in the secondary and at linebacker, they have been a little bit weaker. So very curious, like you said, was Higbee so integral to the three tight end stuff because he's like a experienced blocker type that they might kind of decrease that? Because they don't really do two tight end stuff. It's like either one tight end or three tight ends. So I think that would be kind of the difference here.
And Davante Adams is here as number 4 for you. He's running back, wide receiver 8 in consensus rankings. Davante, a league high 19 end zone targets this year. This will not surprise you because we've talked about it all year and really all summer long. No other Ram has more than 3 end zone targets. So he is 16 ahead of any of his teammates.
I translate all targets into expected touchdowns based off of a bunch of metrics. The big one is how close you are to the end zone. Davante Adams is the leader in expected touchdowns at over 8. Amon-Ra's at about 7. Everyone else in the league is at under 5.5. So it's really like Davante Adams and Amon-Ra St. Brown are the leaders and most likely to score touchdowns. And then it's everybody else in the league. I don't see any reason to not believe that we'll have a Davante Adams touchdown here.
T. Higgins is your wide receiver 5. We know Ja'Marr Chase suspended, upheld for a spit in the face of a defensive player, Jalen Ramsey. This against the New England Patriots. At first, waking up on Friday morning, I felt like Joe Burrow might play, and then I saw Ian Rappaport's comment, and it seems like Joe Flacco will once again play. We know in the past that T. Higgins has been on the field without Ja'Marr Chase. I'm sure you have those numbers. If not, I will backfill them for you.
Over the past 3 years without Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins averaging 2.5 yards per route. That's 20% target share. I think that's like the floor of what I'm expecting here. He's going to be facing off against Christian Gonzalez, but over the last month of the season, the Bengals are 3rd in wide receiver usage. You remove Ja'Marr Chase, you can't get Yoshi Voss and like Noah Fant and Gesicki that much extra work. I think the ball is just going to keep going to T. Higgins. And I like Christian Gonzalez, but they'll move T. Higgins around the formation. And Christian Gonzalez is like not Derek Stingley and Quenyon Mitchell. He's a tier below that to me. And T. Higgins has looked really awesome. So
Gonzalez coming off a big injury, I'm not sure if he's like in the category of us mentioning him on these shows moving forward in terms of like a coverage standpoint. But yeah, 3 for 49 and one without Chase, 7 for 60, 9 for 148, 7 for 114, and 5 for 140 and one. On that note, and we'll talk about, you know, tight ends on the tight end and quarterback ranking show, which hits the feed on Saturday. Mike Gesicki is just coming off injury reserve. He's questionable for this game. I'll be interested if Mike Gesicki does play, because when T. Higgins missed last year, Mike Gesicki went off, went nuclear in those contests as a true big slot wide receiver. And we know Ja'Marr Chase has a bunch of his routes there, and he could once again, you know, take that role for this offense. But we just right now don't even know if he's going to play.
Yeah, and then the last one for T. Higgins, just like why I have him ranked so aggressively. The Patriots' run defense is really, really strong, and the Bengals' offensive line is obviously horrific. So I do think it's just the option is just throw the ball to T. Higgins as many times as you can.
Rashi Rice is your wide receiver 6. This is someone that a few weeks ago, I would have been surprised if he was ranked as a top 3, top 1 wide receiver in future weeks. Now he's facing the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, just one reception for 3 yards in the second half of last week's game, basically his worst performance since 2023. And so I understand why he's wide receiver 6 here.
Yeah, he's kind of like the GOAT PPR scam of the league right now. And like, he's really effective against zone coverage. And then when you have to like make him do like real routes against man coverage, he's really just like not that great. Now, in this one, Sauce Gardner, and we're going to get Ward back from concussion. I think he hasn't been active since like week 5. So we have two really quality outside wide receivers. I don't think that Patrick Mahomes is going to test his boundary wide receivers against those two guys. So I think the ball ultimately is just going to go to Rashee Rice in the slot. Like, I wouldn't trust Sauce Gardner against Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy at this point. Same thing with Ward against those two. I think that the better matchup is Rashee Rice against Kenny Moore, who's been a good player for years, but has been like dealing with like an Achilles injury for a lot of the season. So ultimately they're at home. I'm expecting the shootout here. The Colts offense is really damn good. Chiefs are 6 in projected points. And I just like would like to see Rashee Rice hit a big explosive. It's been a little bit since we've seen that. I know he's capable of doing that, but did want to like kind of nitpick the man versus zone stuff.
Yeah, he basically runs tight end routes over the middle of the field.
Yeah.
And obviously they get him on swing and screen and manufactured touches in front of the line of scrimmage as well. The Colts defense overall, again, we'll talk about this on Saturday's show. They went from having to rotate corners basically off the street because all those guys getting injured to now having a really solid and good cornerback room.
Yep.
You mentioned Kenny Moore in the middle and then making the trade for 2 first-round picks for Sauce Gardner and then now getting Ward back as well. So exciting. A defense is actually getting healthier as the season goes along, I would argue, other than DeForest Buckner.
Yep.
Okay. CeeDee Lamb is your wide receiver 7. This is the versus the Philadelphia Eagles. We know what happened when these teams in primetime met in week 1. CeeDee Lamb, 7 of 13 targets for 110 yards. He was the one that was fortunate enough to pick on Adoree Jackson and company while George Pickens drew the Quinyon Mitchell tag the entire way.
I'm guessing that's largely going to stay the same. Just Quinyon Mitchell is a boundary corner, and that's where George Pickens lines up. So, and George Pickens is so damn good. Like, I would use an all-pro level corner on George Pickens. That seems like a good use of time. Like, I think the more interesting thing would be, would you actually have Cooper DeJean kind of travel with CeeDee Lamb out there? I think that's going to be a discussion. But either way, regardless of like the individual wide receiver cornerback matchup, the Eagles now have 3 linebackers. N'Kobe Dean and Jihad Campbell join Zach Bond. You go 3 deep at defensive tackle. You go 3 or 4 deep at edge rusher again. And then the safety play, I think they hit on a good rookie in Makuba. And then Reed Blankenship's just like been like a veteran for Vic Fangio. So the weak spot is the other outside corner. And I think that the Cowboys are smart. They will try to get him involved there a lot. And still, the rest of the Eagles' defense is really good. So I'm expecting a little bit lower scoring game for the Cowboys in general.
And the other part, Jalen Carter will actually play in this game unless something happens in pregame as well. And is, you know, a different beast in blocking that up front. A dude who's playing like 90% of snaps, it feels like. And rare for defensive tackles to do that. We'll talk about Pickens in a moment because I still remember in the back of my head, don't think I forget people, you know, spending all summer this channel pleaded that you draft George Pickens at his value. And then as soon as that one island game hit on Thursday Night Football, or was it Friday? Anyways, it was, can't believe you guys made me draft George Pickens. Matchups happen, but we'll talk about that one again.
Yeah.
Emeka Egbuka is the wide receiver 8 to close out this one. I mean, just one top 33 scoring week in his last 5 games, but you're confident here that he could have another one against the Rams on the road.
Confident, I guess confident. It's just one of these situations where they're expected to lose by a lot, and I just don't think they're going to be able to run the ball as effectively as they did last week with Sean Tucker against the Bills' run defense, which we've highlighted a million times. And then the Rams' run defense is elite. So I expect Emeka Egbuka to be like the number one guy. I'm curious with Chris Godwin back, like to some degree. I think he'd be a part-time player if they're going to move Emeka Egbuka around the formation a little bit, because he's been drawing some like kind of double teams from the perimeter. Also wanted to mention Quinton Lake. You mentioned it's like a safety slot kind of player for them. They play a lot of defensive back heavy looks in LA. He would be kind of seeing Emeka Egbuka for a lot of this game. He just went to injured reserve. So I think he's just like been unlucky on some of the downfield routes, like all those post routes in September were converting recently. That hasn't been the case. I think that's just going to even out, you know, for the next 16 games of his NFL career. I think he's going to be a top 12 fantasy receiver. It's just going to be more up and down because Baker Mayfield's play himself has been up and down.
That's the key part here. I mean, he's had a target share over 30% in these last 3 games. It's just the inaccurate passes. Now, whenever we discuss Baker, it's he can't keep getting away with this. And he did that for the opening 6-7 weeks of the season. And then he simply hasn't. And now I'm wondering how long the hasn't part will sustain itself moving forward, because he does play different. Like the way he evades sacks out of the grasp and just throwing these passes into double coverage and they just land in the wide receiver's hands. You think, well, for 75% of the other quarterbacks in the league, those would be intercepted or those would be sacked. And then now those are kind of just wayward passes, and it's not the hot streak at the moment.
Remember, Mock, one of their guards, has been out the entire year. Ben Bredesen just left with a hamstring injury. That's their other guard. And then Graham Barton, who we love and like was like did his best at left tackle. He's back at center. He's just like not the same player as he was with Liam Cohen last year, too. So like Baker Mayfield, interior pressure, shorter quarterback, you can kind of like dial up the variance if the interior offensive line isn't as good as it was last season.
With Chris Godwin back, is he going to be inside your top 39 wide receivers here? And why or why not?
No, I mean, they already said that they're going to ease him in. It'd be unfair for him to like come back and play.
Because they really didn't ease him in the first time he came back this year. And he got the same targets as he always did. Yeah. And then he just dropped them all, like literally dropped them all along the sideline, and just kind of had soft hands for a guy who typically has very strong hands, which was shocking to me.
Yep. Yeah, it was shocking. And he didn't like have a injury to it. It was just like a setback. He wasn't ready, which like makes me nervous about like, what's like the exact stability we're expecting from Chris Godwin here. So I think he's a much bigger name than like asset in general. So I have those Tez Johnson and Chris Godwin and then like Sterling Shepard and Kate Otten. I just moved all those guys down. They're just going to kind of cannibalize each other. And the Bucks team totals at like what, 21 points or so right now. So we're not expecting like the same like Tampa Bay team that's been putting up 25 plus for large parts of like the last couple seasons.
And that's kind of unfortunate for Tez, to be honest, because he has been a fun fill-in desperation flex spot in a couple games this season. Stephon Diggs is your wide receiver 9. His role changed quite a bit last week.
Yeah.
Want to talk us through it?
Yeah, he ran around on 88% of the dropbacks. That's kind of been like 60s and 70s percent. So I think that does matter. Now we're going to get Kayshon back in the lineup, but last week, Steph Diggs played a season high amount of snaps into the slot. So Kayshon's going to be your X receiver. You're going to have like Mac Hollins and kind of a rotation at outside wide receiver. And then Steph Diggs, like now the slot over like Pop Douglas, for example. So if he's just going to be increasing his snaps and Drake May looks better and better and better every single week, then I'm starting to get really optimistic about Steph Diggs. And I've been the DJ Turner guy. He's an outside guy. He doesn't go back into the slot here. So DJ Turner's a problem for Kayshon Booty, who we'll get to later. It's going to be Steph Diggs against Dax Hill. And just in general, the middle of the field for the Bengals has been as bad as you can possibly imagine. So if that's where Steph Diggs is going to be working, they're projected for 28 points. This is the highest I've ranked Steph Diggs. It'll probably be the highest I'll rank Steph Diggs the entire season. But I feel good about it.
I don't want to make it this simple, but I'm going to. Josh McDaniels kind of picked Mac Hollins and Kyle Williams over Pop Douglas in a way. Like Pop Douglas is now just totally demoted to backup slot player, whereas they felt comfortable getting Mac Hollins and Kyle Williams and obviously Kayshon Booty now that he's back in the lineup as the outside wide receiver. So Stephon Diggs can eat in the middle of the field, which, by the way, Josh Downs and Drake May was pretty freaking sweet at UNC. Oh, yeah. And now we get Stephon Diggs and Drake May.
Oh, yeah.
Devontae Smith is your wide receiver 10. This is at the Dallas Cowboys. We'll talk about A.J. Brown after a few players here, but talk me through why Devontae this week should be ranked as the wide receiver one on the Eagles.
I keep going back and forth to this because they're so clear that there's big splits based off the type of defenses. So Devontae Smith's been better. I ranked A.J. Brown ahead of Devontae Smith last week because a lot of man coverage looks. That proved true. This week, I'm not expecting as many coverage looks or man coverage looks. So I'm expecting Devontae Smith to go crazy. Cowboys are fifth in zone targets. That's where Devontae Smith has been really good. Jerron Bland's like playing on skates whenever he's out there in isolation. But Devontae Smith's probably going to be into the slot a little bit more and not even facing Jerron Bland. He's going to be facing like the other corners who are not very good. So the only thing that's in the back of my mind is no Lane Johnson just means like the Eagles are an average offense at best. That's like over 4 years of sample. The hard part is just the Cowboys are so far allowing the most fantasy points to wide receivers, like not even close, that I think this week I'll make it the exception where we'll see if Donovan Ezeraku, a rookie edge rusher, is going to beat Lane Johnson's replacement. And hopefully they get Cam Jurgens back from concussion protocol because he's got his handful against Quinyon and Kenny Clark and Osa.
I'll be really interested to see if this Dallas Cowboys defense is just flat out better, like, and how much better, because they went from bottom 2-3 unit in the league that everyone was scoring points against to, you know, making the trade for Quinnen Williams, players getting healthier like Overshown and, you know, other names we can bring up here.
Yep.
So is it one that, hey, play everyone against, obviously you're going to start Devontae Smith no matter what, but if they can actually be average in some spots, like they were average last week, to me, that's a very important distinction versus where we were to open the season.
It is, but all their acquisitions make it seem like the most obvious thing to do against them would just be to pass. Like they keep adding defensive tackles. So like they're not adding corners and safeties, like, and they're getting completely cooked in isolation. So I think that's where the run defense is going to be better. They're going to have more pressure on quarterbacks, but just throw the ball up to Devontae Smith. Like I'll take that 9 times out of 10.
Yeah. Dallas third highest rate of cover 2 based on charting. Devontae, a team high 3.73 yards per route against cover 2. Michael Wilson, everyone's favorite player in the league now, at the Jacksonville Jaguars, is your wide receiver 11. You're way ahead of consensus, no surprise. Wide receiver 20 in consensus rankings. So Jacoby Brissett, I'm glad people are joining the boat here. It's fun watching him because he throws the football no matter what, down in the stretch, down big in the second half, and even in tight games too. So talk us through Michael Wilson, who to you is a must start once again this week.
Yeah, just they're passing the ball at a huge clip. And like we found out Trey Benson's not going to play after we talked about that on the running back show. And then other players, Amari DiMercado, aren't going to play at running back as well. So like they're down to like the fourth and fifth stringers at running back. And over the last month with Jacoby, their third neutral pass rate. What do offenses do against Jacksonville? They pass the ball in neutral situations at the highest rate in the league. 60% of plays against Jacksonville are passes. So we'll see if Trayvon Walker is going to play. He hasn't practiced this week. That would allow Jacoby Brissett to have more time in the pocket because he's missing his own right tackle. So like that's a big one there. But Michael Wilson, I think, is just a pretty damn good player and kind of reminds me maybe like more in like the Jacoby Myers kind of area where he's a little versatile inside and outside, not like super sudden, but I think a pretty reliable player. In general, you had that big slot fade, a couple of dig routes, some like little hitches. And I just think that he and Brissett have a lot of chemistry. And I'm kind of buying that Michael Wilson's just better than what people think. And that the role he was stuck in for the first 2.5 years of his career was not doing him any favors, especially with the quarterback that he had.
Correct. He was stuck with Kyler Murray. I'm just half joking with that. Half. I am quite nervous about this Cardinals offensive line, namely the right tackle spot and Jonah Williams / Kelvin Beachum facing off against the Jaguars. I understand that the Jaguars pressure rate and everything has not been great, you know, from top to bottom. Trayvon Walker up and down, Josh Hines-Allen up and down. But as we saw against the Chargers, If there is a very, very negative spot, these players are big enough, athletic enough, and talented enough to just totally take over. But at the same time, it could have been said in the same way with Jacoby versus the Green Bay Packers, because he had pressure in his face constantly and he still throws the football down the field.
I will adjust that ranking once we get Trayvon Walker's final status. He's DNP 2 days in a row.
Hair loss. Many, many men suffer it from ages, I don't know, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45. And if you think you are starting to thin and looking in the mirror every single day, and it's going back and back and back with that receding hairline, now's the time to do something about it. And I know a big hang up, a big stumbling block is, man, it's just going to take way, way, way too much time. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. So Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. And there are no hidden fees. There are no surprise costs, just real personalized care on your schedule. So for simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/underdog. That's Hims.com/underdog for your free online visit. Hims.com/underdog. Individual results may vary based on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Featured products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. Thank you, Hims, for sponsoring the show. Jameson Williams, look at this. Wide receiver 12. So over his past five games, his average depth of target has dropped to 9.7 air yards the opening 5 weeks of the season. It's something we harped on every single stats versus film. That average depth of target was 20.8. We know over the handful of last week's Dan Campbell calling plays, and it looks more Ben Johnson-y in his usage. Yeah. And on top of this, we heard on Friday that Sam Laporta likely will miss the remainder of the season.
Yeah, Laporta had back surgery. I mean, we're talking about a 24-year-old with back surgery. So that's going to be a huge offseason storyline for us. But it makes it our job a lot easier for now with Jameson Williams. Like, he's going to get a lot more underneath crossing route targets, which he can run after the catch. No Paulson Adebo, who's the outside corner for the Giants. And then the other Giants secondary pieces, it's just a full-blown rotation, and they're just like trying to figure out who's even capable of like being on an NFL roster. Like, it's that bad in the secondary right now. So Underdog Pick'em Lobby agrees with me, 61.5 receiving yards, which it's got to be his highest of the season. Like, that's right in line with like Devontae Adams and a bunch of the guys that we've already talked about. It checks out to me. They're projected for 30 damn points at home, and Dan Campbell took over play calling because J-Mo was not scoring enough fantasy points. Like, it's pretty much as simple as that, because everybody else was scoring as usual. It was just J-Mo, and they said, I got it from here, and I believe him.
Absolutely love that. Yeah, he's higher lower right now in the pick'em lobbies at 3.5 receptions, 61.5 receiving yards, 6.5 targets. That'd be nice.
Wait a minute. 3.5 receptions for 61.5 receiving yards, which is just a reminder of what the ceiling could be if he gets more looks.
Absolutely love that. By the way, in over 20 states at this point, you can play sides, totals, spreads on top of that with prediction markets. Again, Underdog now in over 40 states. So if you couldn't play 6 months ago or 2 years ago, now you probably can. Florida, Texas, Georgia, Missouri, California, Oregon. Again, all these states. Use promo code the show. Click the link in the description down below. If you play $5 your first time, I will personally throw $75 of bonus cash in your direction. So that is Underdog. Support us by playing in the Dog app. Next, let's talk through it. Tedrone McMillan, Monday Night Football at the San Francisco 49ers. He's wide receiver 21 in points per game right now. That's including last week's wide receiver 1 overall week. We all love to flock to wide receivers, rookies, this time of year. So obviously talk about this week, but the rest of the season as well. Where do you think T-Mac ends up?
Well, two things are breaking in his favor right now. One, talk about the matchup. The 49ers are just so injured right now. Like, it's like everyone knows that, but they're 29th in passing EPA per allowed. 29th. So I don't see how that's going to get better all of a sudden. I think the big thing for Tedrone McMillan this week and beyond is the unlock of moving him around the formation. He's just going to get more like cleaner looks and just more freebies, and then perhaps more yards after the catch potential rather than being like kind of isolated as an X receiver. That's what happened last week when he had that season high and usage there. So you can probably speak to that better than I can, but I just think that if he's going to be moved around the formation, that to me like adds another target or two per game the rest of the way. And then in negative game scripts, that can mean like five more targets than usual. And I don't trust the Panthers defense to stop this like pretty much healthy 49ers offense.
No, I think best case scenario for the Panthers, this is a shootout, you know?
Yeah.
Now they will still try to run the football no matter what. And yep. That will be their first plan. So if it happens like against the Dolphins or some of these other games, the Packers, and they can just run the football, they're just going to do that. So basically people that are playing T-Mac, and you should start them no matter what. That I don't want to be negative here, but
yeah,
high end outcome is you're hoping that they can shut down the rushing attack. And if so,
yeah,
like games where Bryce Young has thrown over 30 passes, T-Mac 5 for 68, 6 for 100, and then 8 for 130 and 2. And he's just an awesome individual talent.
He's so good.
So cool. So much fun to watch. And it's great. It's a really cool combo versus, you know, 2 years ago watching Panthers games when those three starting wide receivers have combined for 8 catches for 52 yards this season.
I think there'd be a case if we redrafted today that he'd be like a top three pick. I think he'd been like that good.
He's freaking awesome. Jordan Rodriguez always mentions that the Rams tried to offer their like 28th pick and the 60th or 90th overall pick and this year's first round pick to try to move up to get him.
I mean, what? We wouldn't be talking about three tight end bullshit. I can guarantee you that. If they had T-Mac,
it'd be back to 11 personnel all over again with Puka, Devontae, and T-Mac. I mean, think about that. That would have been freaking sick.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Okay. Chris Olave is next as your wide receiver 14. He's off a bye week, and now he's facing the aforementioned Atlanta Falcons defense. I mean, we just saw the Panthers pick apart Natron Brooks over and over and over again. And Tyler Shuck is giving Chris Olave chances down the field when he's covered and when he's not.
Yeah, I mean, they lost like Brandon Cooks and Rashid Shaheed. So it's Chris Olave versus guys who like literally never get targeted. Like that's just kind of what the Saints offense is. And they've been moving Olave around the formation the entire year. We talked about that in the offseason. It's like completely come true with Kellen Moore. I think that will be extra true without his wide receiver 2 and 3 at this point. AJ Terrell's pretty good. He's not like crazy good. And he also doesn't like travel all the time either. So you can kind of get Chris Olave against the other guys. And in the last three games against the Falcons, Olave has 87 yards on 8 receptions. He has 56 yards and a touchdown. And then he has 114 yards on 7 receptions. So he's kind of eaten them alive. And Tyler Shuck, man, like he can have a couple boneheaded plays, but the way he plays football kind of is nice for like standalone receiving guys like Chris Olave, because he can really spin the ball down the field and he's not going to take off very often. So as long as like they don't miss their right tackle Fuaga too much and their interior is pretty bad, but I kind of trust the whole program that Kellen Moore is building for like a couple guys.
Interesting. I'll talk more about Chuck in tomorrow's quarterbacks and tight end show. Just final point here. Atlanta plays cover 3 at the highest rate in the league at 50%. So, we'll get Olave in isolation against some corners. That'll be fun. George Pickens, here he is, your wide receiver 15. Obviously, when he played Philadelphia, season low 12% target share, just 3 of 4 targets for 30 yards. I got about 40 messages in my Twitter feed. Did draw a defensive pass interference. Are you expecting something different here for Pickens?
Yeah, I was listening to Dominique Foxworth, who might know a thing or two about playing corner in the NFL. And he was saying that when you're Quinyon Mitchell and like an all-pro caliber player, when you're left in isolation against like a true dude like George Pickens the entire game, like the expectation is like not to shut him out. It's like to hold him down a little bit. So I don't love the matchup at all. Like that's why George Pickens, who I absolutely love, is down at wide receiver 16. The Cowboys expectation is 22 points. Here, which is a lot less than it typically is for them. George Pickens is the wide receiver 6 and wide receiver 12 usage. So I tried to discount him as much as I can given the matchup until I reached a breaking point where I just don't see the like crazy ceilings of some of the next guys.
I mean, and at the same time, we're getting week 12 Dak and George Pickens combo versus week 1 of the NFL season.
Yep.
And to me, that's important. That's more time on task. That was more having George Pickens as the wide receiver one for multiple weeks on top of that.
Yep.
And he has 15 end zone targets this year, which is second, I'm assuming, to only Devontae Adams so far this year. Your breaking point apparently was ranking Pickens ahead of AJ Brown, who I think has also hit his breaking point. This is on the opposite end at the Dallas Cowboys. Amazing quote from AJB this week when asked, well, what's
amazing has your game one fallen word. Off? Yeah.
And he said, well, I guess Saquon's game has fallen off this season too. Talk to you about AJB here.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about this in week one, you know, where on the comeback routes and the slant routes, I was like, what's going on here? Like, is this like at the time it was the hamstring injury, right? And I was like, he just does not seem like he's coming out of his breaks cleanly. And it just kind of been the case the whole year. Like, he's still super fast and he's going to have some big weeks because of that. So not writing him off, but the in and out coming out of breaks and beating like winning slant routes, just crossing guys' faces after kind of like breaking out before coming back in. It is not the same level player right now. So,
yep.
And it's also a Cowboys defense that historically, you mentioned it, too deep zone coverages. That's where AJ Brown struggled the most. So, the only thing I'll say positively here is this could be like a really like close game. And a lot of times Eagles are up big over the last couple of years. And that's when AJ Brown finished with like very few targets. I'm not expecting that to be the case here, but I do think that we've fully reset expectations for AJ Brown.
Has two games this year as the wide receiver three overall. And then five others where he's been the wide receiver 101, 72, 98, 52, and 73 on the season. So he is the most spike week, high variance wide receiver in the NFL this season.
Yeah. Better in best ball, but not in the second round if you draft him. Like, better in best ball if you had him in the sixth round.
Zay Flowers kicks things off here as your wide receiver 17. This is against the New York Jets. By the way, that spread is outrageous. With the Ravens projected to win by 13.5 points. Mm-hmm. Basically, we are hoping that Zay Flowers is a real reason and a real part why the Ravens lead early. And we need a touchdown outside of the red zone for
him. Yeah, he's kind of like a steady Eddie wide receiver 2-3 that just does not score touchdowns like the other wide receiver 2s and 3s. Like, and that's probably because you have just Derrick Henry in the red zone and it is what it is. Now, Rashad Bateman's playing through an injury. If he does suit up here, he missed with an ankle injury last week. Zay Flowers has been like solid. Like whenever I watch him on tape, he's creating some separation. He's got some yak ability. He just like does not score touchdowns very often. Now, you get a 29-point team total. The Jets just traded away Sauce Gardner. They play a lot of man coverage, just historically, just looking at the coaching staff. So if they're going to try to do man coverage stuff with backup level corners, I really like Zay Flowers. So I'm parking him like maybe I'm shooting my shot a little bit where we could have like an upside Zay Flowers week.
Okay. We got to talk to Colts wide receivers. And look who's first up. Alec Pierce, one spot ahead of Michael Pittman. This is against the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's first talk Alec Pierce, who's a favorite of the channel, leads the NFL in yards per catch with 21 yards after leading the NFL in that department in 2024 as well at 22 yards per catch, albeit he's getting there very differently in that regard in terms of the consistency and just being a focal point of the passing game here.
Just different types of routes, like more in breaking routes rather than just being like on that vertical plane. So just really like what I'm seeing here. This is not an easy matchup at all. Like there's a reason why the Colts are dogs here. You're going into Kansas City. You got Steve Spagnuolo against Daniel Jones, who's kind of crumbled under pressure historically. And then you have two outside corners who I respect in Kansas City, and that's who Alec Pierce is gonna have to go up and win. Now, he's just been really good. Like, I'm sure like the Chiefs are like, shit, we got to go face Alec Pierce this week. Like, I think he's kind of been that good. So when the Colts have been in neutral situations this year, they've been very pass heavy. When they've been in negative situations, which is very rare, they've been extremely pass heavy. This is one of the spots where we're kind of expecting this to be a close game, or maybe the Chiefs kind of pull ahead a little bit. And in those situations, we can see 40 dropbacks from Daniel Jones. It's not what they want to do, but like that's just sometimes how it goes over in Indianapolis.
Got some interesting stats when we do the quarterback show for this one. I will add that the Chiefs have allowed zero touchdowns on throws 20 plus yards down the field this season, which is an Alec Pierce specialty. On the opposite end of that, across the formation, Michael Pittman Jr., What are you expecting here? Because the Chiefs are second in points allowed to wide receiver one targets this season at just 10 per game.
Yeah, I mean, who's the number one? Is it Pittman or Pierce? Like, that's the question. So this month, Pierce is the wide receiver. Yeah, him too. Wide receiver 14 and wide receiver 17 usage. That's Alec Pierce. And then this month for Michael Pittman, he's a wide receiver 12, but a wide receiver 34 usage. They're both efficient on their targets. Michael Pittman has been more consistent. He's actually been a top 24 wide receiver finisher in 7 of 10 games, which is pretty insane. Now, the other three games were total duds. So he's kind of a boom-bust wide receiver, too, at this point. A lot of the same notes apply to Michael Pittman that we just talked about with Pierce. Difficult matchup.
Your wide receiver 20. I'm sure some comments have already been left down below on YouTube saying, where is Justin Jefferson? Here he is against the Green Bay Packers. I mean, we can look at this just in the Pick'em lobby. This is the lowest projection ever that Underdog has given Justin Jefferson at 67.5 receiving yards as his higher or lower. What gives here, Hayden?
Well, when I was initially writing my notes, it was higher than that. So the number just keeps dropping for Justin Jefferson. And I mean, this ranking is much better than where he's finished with JJ McCarthy, like much better. So like this month, Justin Jefferson is the wide receiver 36 in scoring. You know, like this week, the Vikings are projected for 17 points. How far away is that than the Browns? It's right there. You're in Green Bay. Like, what has JJ McCarthy struggled with? Like stepping into pressure and not playing on time. Who's like the other than Myles Garrett, who's the other guy you would not want to be going against if that's what your quarterback's struggling? It's freaking Micah Parsons. So, you know, like Justin Jefferson's going to finish with a million targets and he's so damn good. And like JJ McCarthy, he can still throw the ball like on a nice line. So there are chunk plays that are available to the offense still. It's just the consistency is really bad. So
I think this is fair. It's not that he's not being targeted, right? I mean, his target share, people love to pass it around. It's still incredibly high. That's ranged from, you know, 35% to 39% down to about 28%. It's just the inaccuracy of it all. It's the off-target stuff of it all. And it's not that we believe Justin Jefferson has taken a step back here. It's he's frustrated on the field, and we're frustrated watching the passing offense on top of it too. So, yeah, we will see what happens here. And again, we brought it up maybe a month ago at this point, as soon as JJ McCarthy came back of, hey, over the last year, Justin Jefferson has finished as about the wide receiver 18 or 19 in points. What is the conversation going to be like this summer? Is that going to be a round 2-3 turn player? Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point that like over the last 365 days, he's not been a fantasy wide receiver one. Like that's with different style quarterbacks there. Like he's just not getting the ball as often. I think credit to Jordan Addison being as good as he is as well. So yeah, there's a lot of things going wrong with Justin. You know who else is really mad about the situation? Watch Kevin O'Connell on the sideline throughout the game. You'll see a very frustrated head coach. A lot of
Kevin O'Connell in front of the mic is very reasoned and cautious and contemplative and like takes his time. He's a bit more fiery behind the scenes. Bit more fiery. Rome Odunze, wide receiver 21 against the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Hayden, what type of Steelers defense are we getting here? Because to me, that's important for Rome Odunze, because the same question could be asked, what type of Rome Odunze are we getting here?
Yeah, the Steelers have just been like better recently. They just kind of stepped things up. The middle of the field has just been a lot cleaner. They had a good game plan against the Bengals this last week. Jalen Ramsey, when he's not getting spit on, is playing deep safety now, which is better because he was just like not winning his matchups like at the line of scrimmage. And he's a really smart player. So I do think that would make some sense. I think Rome Odunze is going to face off with Joey Porter for a lot of this game. Those two guys kind of like on the same like talent level and like physicality level to me. So I think it's a neutral matchup for Rome Odunze in general. Both shout out though, Chicago, they're projected still for 24 points. That's above the league average. They're now top 10 in EPA per play this season. So Rome Odunze, he's left a lot of yards and touchdowns on the field with some drops. Hopefully that can kind of get ironed out, because that was like not an issue as a college prospect. And if you play a lot of
like I think it's both, like
for sure
he'll drop one, then there's misses, and then it's sometimes it works, and when it works he's a top 12 score at the position. So
yes, My model is calling him a positive regression candidate. He's a wide receiver 29 on wide receiver 15 usage this month. And I know Rome Odunze's, he's a good player. I'm waiting for him to be a great player. Same thing with Caleb Williams. So I do want to kind of buy the dip on these guys whenever we can.
Okay, let's talk about the Packers wide receivers. And first up, it is Romeo Doubs here as your wide receiver 22. I actually think consensus rankings might have Christian Watson ahead of him. Mm-hmm. But talk me through Romeo, who had a really bad last game against the New York Giants with a number of big time drops on catches he typically makes.
Yeah, I mean, before that game, I thought he was extremely consistent. He's like the reliable guy, and he's the wide receiver that runs the routes within 15 yards of the line of scrimmage. I mean, that's key here because you get the Vikings and how chaotic that defense is. And if they drop a lot of, or they have like five or six guys at the line of scrimmage and they drop two of them out, the wide receivers are somewhat responsible, like finding out exactly where players are going to be lined up. Are you actually hot? I would just trust Romeo Doubs to be in that role the best. He had 11 targets the last time they faced the Vikings as well. That was late last season. So there's a little bit of like precedent with what I'm trying to talk about. He's the wide receiver 16 in usage this month, and I just think he's a better player than what he showed last week. So if they're not going to have as much time to like launch the ball way downfield against this defense, then I would guess that Romeo Doubs is going to finish with 7, 8, 9 targets in this one.
Can we also talk about the rookie wide receiver in Matthew Golden here as well? Because Matthew Golden is not going to make your top 39 wide receivers this week. Nope. No shock to anyone. But, you know, Kyle Borgognoni, over with the Fantasy Footballers, posted this, that like wide receivers since 2015 that have, you know, been without a touchdown reception in the opening 11 weeks of their rookie season. Let's just say the list is not kind. We know, you know, Matthew Golden's rookie season has not been a standard one, but this certainly sitting here in week 12 is much different than what we all expected for the Green Bay Packers, who finally spent a first round pick on wide receiver.
He is not scoring fantasy points. We're not expecting him to score fantasy points, especially Jaden Reed's going to come back fairly soon here. He's just not like, he's not even on the field very, very often. So I was like confused. Okay, why isn't this happening? Because I've noticed Matthew Golden getting open. So this week, after seeing a lot of tweets like that one, I went back into the film room and just looked at all like the press man coverage snaps that he's seen. And then all of the incompletions that have gone his way. And you can make an argument that like almost none of those incompletions were even on Matthew Golden. And I think that he's actually creating a lot of separation against man coverage. It's way down the field, and the Packers have just been designing a lot of stuff underneath. So I don't know, man. I think Matthew Golden's better than his numbers are, and maybe that's bag defending because I ranked him pretty aggressively. But I think he's a kind of a different case when we're kind of grading rookies versus like their numbers, and that the Packers are just weird with how they kind of deploy their rookies and their wide receiver rotation as well. I would guess it's to me a little bit concerning. Why isn't Matthew Golden getting the underneath kind of manufactured touches? Why isn't he running more slants and stuff? Because they can use somebody like that with his explosiveness, and they have not given him that many routes like that. But I think on the big crossing routes and go routes, he's actually creating some real separation. And he just ran like so unlucky on the deep balls being incomplete, where they were just like not catchable.
I'll be very nervous if he once again only runs a route on 39% of dropbacks this week.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you can take it multiple ways. Like last week, did he do that just because he was coming back from the shoulder injury and they're slow playing him? Well, you look at Christian Watson, and he was out there all the time, and he's coming off a massive leg injury. You know, we're also not there in practice behind the scenes. And if to me, if they believe that like Matthew Golden was part of the help to make them a consistent passing offense, then he'd probably be playing more. At the same time, you know, LaFleur during the rookie seasons of Musgrave and the rookie seasons of Tucker Kraft, and we can look at the other wide receivers that they've had out there, Dontayvion Wicks and all these guys, he just got so frustrated with them about lining up in the right correct places and accomplishing their assignments and all that type of stuff. And as we talked about constantly during last year's draft cycle, when some people ranked Matthew Golden as the number one wide receiver in the class, he had a weird profile. You know, Houston, his stuff there, not good. Tons of drops. Like, just wasn't the same player as he was at Texas. But then the Texas stuff really didn't happen until around this time in November. Like Isaiah Bond went down, and then it was the final seven games of that season where he finally was getting, you know, more than three catches per contest and was an every series type weapon for Texas. So I don't know. It's a really interesting one to me, whereas it's not like he's getting these opportunities when he's on the field and just flat out dropping them or flat out missing them. But then I also do question, albeit with the caveat of the injury, why isn't he getting more of these opportunities when really the rest of the wide receiver room is totally in flux too?
Yeah, I think it's both fair. It's bad news that he's not on the field and just being productive. Like that's very valuable information. And to me, when he's on the field, I don't see him making mistakes. You know, like that's just my film evaluation of this. Like there's nothing disqualifying about his film. And I think that there's a lot of production that was just the way the cookie crumbles when you're being used down the field. Things can go bad for like long spells. And then all of a sudden he catches two long touchdowns. And then none of these tweets exist where there's like probably 250 yards and three touchdowns available that just like did not go his way this season. So yeah, just one to watch. I don't have good answers. And a lot of the Packers analysts that are asking questions and watching the film, they're reaching the same conclusion as me. It's like, they like Matthew Golden's film and where the fuck is he? And I don't know.
Okay. We go from that to Wandale Robinson at the Detroit Lions here as wide receiver 23. He's cleared 48 yards in just three of his past nine games. But this is Jameis Winston against, you know, the Lions defense rather than Jameis Winston against the Packers defense when he really should have thrown four or five interceptions.
But four or five interceptions just means a lot more pass attempts in the second half. And, you know, like we're not trying to get yards with Wandale Robinson. We're trying to get our scam. So that's what I'm expecting here. Darius Slayton hasn't practiced yet. And what do the Lions do? They play a lot of man coverage. Is Wandale Robinson like some man coverage guy? He's really not. But I know for a fact the other Giants wide receivers that they're going to be trotting out on the perimeter are definitely not man coverage guys. So we'll see. At least like Wandale Robinson, they play a lot of like base defense. So maybe he's going to get like some linebackers and some like safety types now. Like they're very good safeties. It's Brian Branch. And that's also like all three of their linebackers are very good. So don't love the matchup, but you can't like paint the picture that Hodgins and like Jalen Hyatt and these guys are going to be beating man coverage against the Lions, and offense is still put up 150 passing yards every game.
Okay. Brian Thomas Jr. is next as your wide receiver 24. I'm not sure if we're certain he's playing, but if he is, Hayden, is this the quietest return of a round 1-2 fantasy pick that I can remember? Like no one's talking about Brian Thomas Jr. this week.
Yeah. He's been limited in back-to-back practices. I have no idea. So all the Jacksonville wide receivers, that's Jacoby and Parker Washington, it's impossible for me to rank them. So you'll have an update on Sunday spot. But pick'em lobby wise, he was at about 63.5 receiving yards, which is a lot more than the wide receivers we've been talking about for the last 25 minutes of the show. So yeah, I'll have more on Sunday.
DK Metcalf, wide receiver 25 here. This is at the Chicago Bears. Yep. I mean, we bring it up every single week with DK, and obviously his quarterback's dealing with a wrist injury on top of it in his non-throwing hand, but he's not being targeted down the field because the ball's getting out so quickly, so he has to break a tackle and have a long run, or hopefully that short reception is in a short field and is caught for a touchdown.
Right. It's really like the short stuff that we need to get right, because I don't think that Rodgers is going to be buying time with a broken wrist. He already wasn't doing that. I think they're by far the lowest yards to the stick on average, which just means they're throwing the ball underneath. Now, the other hard part about this is the Bears have all of their defensive players on the injury report, lots of limited participants, a lot of guys that could potentially come back off of injured reserve or all miss the game. So like this is another one where every single Sunday morning I go out and talk about the key injuries that you guys might not be paying attention to, like offensive line, defensive injuries. The Bears defense will be one of them. So it's perhaps DK Metcalf in a great spot, or Jalen Johnson and Kyler Gordon are back and it's a bad spot. I don't know.
So if this doesn't outline the current state of the Atlanta Falcons, nothing will. Wide receiver 26, Darnell Mooney at the New Orleans Saints. Their wide receiver one now has yet to score a touchdown this season, and he has cleared just 44 yards in one game this season. And let's also remind the people that they're projected for 19.25 points this week.
Yeah. I got some more bad notes. He has six drops this year. That's already more than he had all of last year on half the targets. So that's not going well for him. Went back and watched all the Kirk Cousins stuff. Kirk Cousins throwing to Darnell Mooney almost got him killed multiple times, like multiple times. So Kirk Cousins is like hyping him up in the media, and then Darnell Mooney's like running over routes over the middle, and just safeties are just absolutely drilling him. So we'll see. The reality, though, is Mooney, he is a good player somewhere in there. Will we see that this year? I'm not sure. And Drake London leaves behind a 30% target share. So how are you divvying up that 30%? Is it going to David Sills, Kadarrell Hodge, Casey Washington? Could Kyle Pitts get more? I mean, at some point, he's got to get like some level of targets here. I don't feel confident that they're going to be very efficient, but...
Yeah, I think that 30% is going to go to the dirt and to the sideline.
Yeah. I mean, but we already got that with the Michael Bennix throws. So like... Yeah, I mean, he's at 47.5 receiving yards for the pick'em lobby. That feels about right.
Okay, Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings are next as your wide receiver 27 and 28. Pearsall, in his return, did absolutely nothing in the stat sheet, but to me, it was fantastic that he played about 85% of dropbacks, got immediately involved there off of that long-term injury. And then, yeah, Juwan Jennings, zone beater for this team on top of it.
Yeah, they had Pearsall in like a cheat motion where he had like cut and then run the dig route, like, if you're running full speed and having to like change at 90 degree angles multiple times, you're healthy. So I think it's just going to be the case with Ricky Pearsall the rest of the season. He's going to be parked in this range. He's an upside wide receiver 3 without a floor because he has to deal with George Kittle, Juwan Jennings, Christian McCaffrey stealing targets. Now they're expected to score 28 points. I feel good about the individual matchup for Ricky Pearsall. And I know that he's a good, valuable player to the offense. He just runs all the clear out routes and the big dig routes, which means a lot of like low volume games for him, but he's going to have some big games as well.
Panthers are going to play, I think, a good amount of single high coverage on top of it. And we know like Chris Olave burned J.C. Horn for that last week, 2 weeks ago. So I think the opportunity will be there for Ricky Pearsall to have a big, big play here and maybe change the game for it. I'm excited for Ricky Pearsall. All right. Speaking of big plays, that is what Christian Watson is all about. This is against the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, since his return, I should say over the last 3 weeks, not since his return, but he's been hovering at 80%, if not as high as 85% of dropbacks. And to me, without Tucker Kraft, this team is reliant solely on explosive plays, and he is their most explosive threat as a pass catcher. So he could have anywhere from 1 to 3 big downfield opportunities. And if he catches just one of them, again, I believe that makes him startable in fantasy.
Yeah, I don't think like all that's really changed for Christian Watson like over the last like year and a half, 2 years. You know, like I don't think Jordan Love looks good. Like he's inconsistent, but he looks good. The offense, it looks good. It can be a little bit inconsistent. And then same thing with Christian Watson. You know, he's never going to be like 9 targets per game guy. So he needs to come down with the deep stuff. And most recently he has, but he's also the wide receiver 52 in usage this month. So I think it's a dangerous game to say, hey, he's converting all of his deep targets. He deserves to be the wide receiver 24 right now, where historically we know that you just don't come down with all the difficult throws down the field. And then he's usually been like more of the wide receiver 40, 45. So
as for the Vikings defense as a whole this season, Reeves pointed this out, they've allowed a 46% catch rate on throws 20 plus yards down the field. Again, Christian Watson, and allowed 5 touchdowns, which is tied for the second most in the NFL. So
yeah, they're vulnerable back there, but their front 5 right now is dangerous.
Xavier Worthy all the way down at wide receiver 30 against the Indianapolis Colts. I believe he has not been a top 24 wide receiver scoring since he returned from that first game off that shoulder injury.
It's almost the exact same conversation with Ricky Pearsall, Christian Watson, and Xavier Worthy. You know, like they're running difficult routes down the field. It's inconsistent. I watched Xavier Worthy score an 80-yard touchdown last week and Mahomes missed him. So like he gets 0 points for that. But in the future, that can be 17 points. Like, I don't know if that's going to happen this week. He's going to see some Sauce Gardner. Do I like that matchup for Xavier Worthy? I really don't. And Tre'Davious Ward, also really don't like that physicality against Xavier Worthy. And then on top of that, ankle injury, DNP on Wednesday. He's going to play, but like as a reminder, shoulder injury where I didn't think he was like running as fast because of he can't like pump his arms. And then the ankle injury happened shortly after that. And it's still on the injury report. So like I think we have like a diminished version of Xavier Worthy, which has been unfortunate, but that's the reality.
He's crushing it in my air yards league. That is for sure. Kayshon Booty is back. Talk about downfield threats. He's been one of the more consistent one of those because his quarterback actually has on target passes in that area of the field.
Yeah, I mean, like the best in the league down the field stuff for Kayshon and for Drake May, that is. Yeah, they're projected for 28.5 points. Like they should go absolutely crazy. The Bengals haven't stopped anybody through the air. The caveat being DJ Turner, their top corner, is really fast and has been left on islands and kind of shut down opposing wide receiver ones. Kayshon Booty is like the wide receiver one on the depth chart, even if like the targets don't matter. He's just going to be on the perimeter and just going to be these two guys battling each other. I don't think that DJ Turner is like so damn good that Kayshon has no chance. But if it was any other kind of matchup, I feel a little bit better about it.
Okay, I'm going to throw up a bunch of wide receiver twos on the screen. All right, and you can pick one out if you want to. Okay. DJ Moore, then Jacoby Myers, then Cooper Kupp, and then Josh Downs. Anything you want to say about any of those names that goes from wide receiver 32 to wide receiver 35?
Yeah, I think like DJ Moore, like nothing new there. He's been missed on some downfield stuff, but he's somewhat involved, not like the focal point of the offense. I'll make the case for Cooper Kupp, I guess, a little bit here. Seahawks are projected for 27 points. He ran around 82% of the dropbacks this last week. He plays in all the three wide receiver sets. He splits participation in like the heavier personnel looks. The Titans right now are a clear pass funnel defense because you get Jeffrey Simmons back. Their defensive two Sweat is a total monster. Gray Zabel's not going to play, I don't think, in this one. Their right guard stinks. So what would I do if I was Clint Kubiak? I'd probably pass the ball more this week in the first half of the game. And I don't love Cooper Kupp's tape, but he's going to be have a bunch of advantageous looks here.
And what we saw a couple weeks ago against the Cardinals when they won by 22 points was that, again, they ran a bunch of 12 personnel. That's what they do this year to throw out of those looks. And Cooper Kupp was still running ahead of Rashid Shaheed. Now, that was Shaheed's first game. They ran more, you know, three wide receiver sets last week. That was in a tight game against the Rams. But if it's still going to be a lot of, especially second half stuff of we're ahead, we're going to have these heavier looks, then I still would expect Cooper Kupp to have more snaps than Rashid Shaheed at this moment.
Yeah. We're talking about prayers down here, though.
Trey Tucker, a wide receiver one for his team, all the way down as wide receiver 36. This is against the Cleveland Browns. And this is probably the last time the Raiders are favored the entire rest of the way at nearly 20 projected points here.
Yeah, 20 points against the Browns. Like, we'll see about
that. Who is scoring on this team?
Yeah, we talk about team totals. As a reminder, those are like the team totals, not the offensive points projected, you know? So, like, there can be some funky stuff on defense here. I like Trey Tucker to some degree. I think he's a fine enough NFL starter. They get him some manufactured touches. Last week, 12.6 expected points were the most since week three. He scores a touchdown on that. He's been all right. And now you got to go do it against Denzel Ward and that pass rush. And like, do you feel comfortable about who's blocking Myles Garrett this week? I don't.
Jordan Addison. And then you also have Greg Dortch. And then Andre Yoshivas is here as your wide receiver 39. He has one career game over 66 yards. It's all about the touchdowns for him. And again, we're expecting Joe Flacco to play here and not Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I think the Mike Gesicki stuff like that matters to some degree here. He's never eclipsed more than five receptions in a game, you know, and
wow.
T. Higgins and Jamar Chase have like both missed time like in mini stints. So we're expecting the big play out of Andre Yoshivas here. Quietly, Greg Dortch had a really good game last week, season high in usage. That was when Jacoby like set a record there. But there is something to, you know, they're passing the ball more and Jacksonville allows a lot of reception. So I guess in like full PPR, if you're like fully panicking.
And sadly, we have to wave goodbye to Parker Washington as a mainstay in these wide receiver rankings. Did you do anything to not celebrate? That's the opposite.
No,
to mourn,
there was no celebrating.
Mourn him.
Yeah, I mean, if I didn't spend much time thinking about Parker Washington.
Okay, that does it. We'll be spending some time thinking about quarterbacks and tight end rankings. Those will be here on the channel on Saturday, and then obviously on Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, we're gonna have a start sit show for all of you for 2 hours leading up until kickoff as we get much closer to your fantasy football playoffs. Those decisions matter more. than ever. So join us for that show. For Weaves and Mosho and Hayden, we'll talk to y'all soon. See you.